Ich and Lars Weiler will now present something about that. Please give them a warm welcome.
Yeah, thank you and good afternoon. We have made a little presentation on hackerspaces. That means physical spaces where hackers can gather.
Yes, this is our outline. So we first want to start with the introduction, and then the next big part will be the hackerspace design pattern catalog we prepared. And after that, a small conclusion. So I think we will take about an hour.
Yeah, just one more thing in advance. We're sure that there will be many questions and many detailed questions as well. We will get to that later.
Yeah, sure.
You will have a chance to ask your questions.
So, who we are? This is Jens. Jens is the co-founder of the Chaos Computer Club in Cologne back 10 years. And he's still active there, so he can tell a lot about setting up a hackerspace and how it runs and how we can work in it. He's also a CCC activist, so he started in the CCC more than 15 years ago. He was a spokesman for the CCC. He was also a board member of the CCC e.V. Yeah, so short introduction. You should know him.
This is Lars of Bilon. He went to found the Chaos Computer Club in Düsseldorf, Chaosdorf. He's now been active in Cologne for several years now, more than 8 years of CCC activism under the hood, so to say, and also he has been a spokesperson for the CCC, meaning he spoke with the press and tried to communicate the official, if there is such a thing, viewpoint of the Chaos Computer Club to the press and other interested parties, and he also was a member on the board of the CCC umbrella organization that we have. There are only two names on this presentation, but again, I think I should stress this is really a group effort. We got inspiration from so many people. There is some points that were pointed out by Tim Pritlove of CCC Berlin. Some points were pointed out from our very good friends from the MetaLab in Vienna. And also various members of the CCC in Cologne contributed many of the points when we beta tested the design patterns against them.
So the Chaos Computer Club in Cologne, short presentation. So has been founded, as I said, 10 years back, so in 1997. We are currently around 42 members, so well, probably a bit more, a bit less, so about 42 is a good number. Our club room, that's version 3.5 because we moved two times and we're in that club room which we have now for 8 years with a small enlargement. Now we have bigger rooms. And the pictures you will see in this presentation, they are all taken in this club room, so that you can have a small image of our room. So why is this catalog?
Yeah, the backstory is that in 2007 we received a call for action from the American Hacker Foundation, especially from Nick Farr and other people who organized a thing called Hackers on a Plane, where they took American hackers from a large hacking event in Las Vegas, USA, to the Chaos Communication Camp in Finneford near Berlin. On a plane, imagine, and then what happened afterwards was even more amazing. They did a tour of hacker spaces, of club rooms and other physical spaces where hackers gathered in Germany and Austria, and I think they got a lot of inspiration there. What we wanted to present to them was a recipe how hacker spaces work, because that was the number one question. How can you sustain, how can the European scene sustain these hackerspaces while it doesn't seem to go so well in the US? And we started and really wanted to have a manual where you have a step-by-step description of how to build a hackerspace. And then we found out, no, that's a totally wrong approach, because every hackerspace is different, and they all have their own beauty, they all have their own unique solutions to problems, and it's all good that way. So what we can present to you is design patterns, patterns that emerge from more than 10 years of running a hackerspace, things that worked out for us, and things that may work for you. Or at least it's a good point of starting where you can steal ideas and build your own hackerspace, your own startup.
Yeah, so what are design patterns? Design patterns derive from urban planning. So if you want to build up a city, you have some special things you need in every city, like the residential part, then the commercial part, industrial part, and how can you connect them? Furthermore, you need something for your leisure time, like sport places and so on. And some people create a design pattern. So you have a problem and you want to implement it, and they will give you a short overview how you can do it.
So this metaphor was taken to computer science, where design patterns really mean, in object-oriented software engineering, they mean you have a Lego box where you can pick bricks from and put them together. So the solution is not the finished product, but you just get the Lego box where you can pick the bricks from and then build your own. And we thought that was a very good metaphor for what we wanted to communicate. So we stole the idea of design patterns, and what we have here is now a design pattern catalog for running hackerspace.
So what we want to tell you. So first, like I said, we want to tell you how we built up our hackerspace, which problems we had, and how we resolved these problems. This won't be a detailed manual, so don't take it exactly one-to-one to your hackerspace. So you have to be creative, and I think your problems will be a little bit different from our problems.
Yeah, and being creative is the number one reason of starting a hackerspace in the first place anyway. So your mileage may vary, and without further ado, here's the design patterns catalog.
So we have some parts of this catalog. We divided it into five different groups. So first group is sustainability patterns. How you can start your hackerspace and how you can run it. Furthermore, the independence patterns, very important pattern for us, and that's something we wanted to tell the US American hackers as well. The regularity patterns, that means how you can run it regularly with meetings and so on. Furthermore, conflict resolution patterns, I think that's the biggest part. If you have conflicts, how you can resolve it. And furthermore, some creative chaos patterns, which won't fit in any group.
Just a mixed bag. The categories are, of course, debatable, but these are the ones that we came up with. This is a constant work of progress. We have given this presentation a few times before. Now it's here at the Case Communication Congress. We have added some things. We clarified some bits, but I think this will... this will stay work in progress for some time now. We have some ideas on how to expand that in an organized way as well.
That's a task for later. So, first pattern. The infrastructure pattern. The problem. You have a chicken and egg problem. What should come first? Infrastructure or projects? So, you have the idea, you want to start. What's the first thing you should do? Oh, that's an apple starting. We think, or what we want to tell you is, start with the infrastructure first. So find rooms, build up your network, set up your servers, and so on and so on, so that everything will evolve later. Everything will come from its own. So if you have the room, you can meet, and you can share your ideas, you can enlarge your projects, and so on. It's the most important part, so start with the infrastructure.
You will also have a concept when starting your hackerspace, and it may be very elaborate, like we want to have a hackerspace where everyone is into electronic tinkering. And then someday someone knocks on your door who is maybe a software guy or does some amazing art projects, and then it will all fit in, but you haven't had you didn't have that in your concept. So be prepared to be surprised what your hackerspace will turn out to be. But provide a good infrastructure. Don't think that you can provide a common theme to it. People will find a common theme, but provide the infrastructure, make everything infrastructure driven. Once there is infrastructure, people will do the most amazing project with it that you haven't dreamt of before.
Yeah. So this is a picture from our server room, our network operation center. Yes, it's a small room with some storage in. You see the network cables over there. And yeah, so this our infrastructure that drives the whole cloud program, I would say. Well, not exactly, but there's a network and the phone. Yes, the Grace Hopper pattern. So is this really the time to start your hackerspace? This, I think, the most important question some people will ask. And should we wait a little bit more when more people will come and will join us and will help out? And do we really have thought about all the problems?
Yeah, people will tell you about...
And finally, a real-time communication platform.
And you will need all three. Implement it the way that you feel it's okay, but you will need all three things for running your group.
That should be easy.
Should be easy, yeah.
So, critical mass pattern. You want to start the hacker space, but alone, I don't think that you can start it. So, what's the number you need for starting hacker space in a city where you live? We think it's 2+2. Because you need two people who have the idea, the image what should be done in a couple of years or so.
The initial vision.
The vision, right. And you need two people with a helping hand, at least. So, four people for starting a hackerspace, and you should recruit more people soon, so that you can have 10 people within a couple of months.
And we really found out that the number of 10 people seems to be the magic number when a hackerspace turns from operational to sustainable.
It's also interesting to see when your hackerspace enlarges. So, like with our 42 members, we still have groups of about 10 people within a project. So we don't work all in one project, but we have a couple of projects and about 10 people in every project. So it's really a good number. Okay, next pattern.
Strong personality patterns. Yeah, you know the problem, nothing gets done. You all want the hackerspace, but it's so hard to get off your asses and nobody really wants to take the initiative. There is really no way around it, but this implementation, you really need strong personalities as a member of your original group. And these should be people who have experience with building structures. And one thing that we really want to stress is this is not about playing a game of ranks and powers and stuff. You should look for people who have authority, natural authority, because they are cool people, because they're wizards, and thus get respect. And you shouldn't have any people who use authority and get laughed at, especially with an anti-authoritarian group like hackers. But still, driving forces behind the projects are important. If you're just slackers, nothing will get done.
So it's also interesting to hear from the Meta Lab in Vienna. They said they had two persons from other hacker spaces, one from the Netzladen in Bonn and another one from Berlin, or more hacker spaces. And those two people helped a lot in setting up this infrastructure because they had a little bit experience with it. So yeah, I won't say these are strong personalities, but the person with experience.
Yeah.
And you really need them.
And eventually hackerspaces will spawn more hackerspaces. People will move to other cities and then they wonder, why isn't there something like in my hometown in this city? And then easy solution would be to set it up because you already have experience.
Yeah, that's the way the hackerspace in Cologne has been founded. Okay. Okay, next group, independence patterns. So why independence? Or, yeah, so what about the landlord and the neighborhood? Well, you have found the perfect hackerspace. You have found a room where you can meet. But the landlord, so the owner, seems to be a little bit weird. So there are some nerds and they do bad things and they are hackers and they steal my money from the bank account and so on. And also neighbors see people with pizza boxes going in and out by day and night. So they're a little bit picky. So what we can tell you is you really should become known to your neighborhood. If you have found this hackerspace, go around, have a talk with the persons, and don't take the room instantly. So take your time and think about it.
Yeah. And a benevolent but uninterested landlord and cool neighbors can be the decisive reason why the hackerspaces take off or not. Not so cool neighbors may call the cops at 2 a.m. This really may be a problem. Let me tell you something about the neighbors we have at the hackerspace in Cologne, C4. We have very nice, very well-mannered neighbors that run a dominatrix studio. They're cool. They like to dress funny. We do. They have a feeling for privacy when... So do we. We get along great. And this seems to be like a minor sub-pattern as well, because what was it in Karlsruhe? I think they share the rooms with some gay activist group.
Yeah. In Dortmund, they also have a gay cafe beside their door. So... quite interesting. So
yeah.
Usually they don't share members, probably.
So
we don't know.
What we think is, as hackers, you don't live in the majority lifestyle, and if you have neighbors who are also weird and outside the majority lifestyle, that seems to go well together. And like I read in one article, like a combination of chocolate and peanut butter.
Okay, next pattern. The roommate anti-pattern. So you have your lab and you can't collect all the funds for it, so you can't collect the rent. And then there's one hacker and says, well, I can live in it, I can take care for the room, and I can also spend a couple of money for this hackerspace every month. What we say is...
Don't do it.
Don't do it, yes. So guests are fine, but... don't have anybody living in your hackerspace. So think about the person who lives inside. This person also needs privacy. You want to work at your projects, you're in night, and he has his girlfriend with him. Well, not so good.
It will just end up everyone feeling very awkward, and it's just not a place where people live. It should be like the perfect living room without people living there.
You can kick them out. Yeah, separate pattern. So,
we didn't find a good English word for separate, so we took a French word. You sometimes want to chill or discuss or work in small groups, but you have a main room which is occupied and there's simply too many people at your space. Or something that turns up at every European hackerspace I've been to is interesting discussions between smokers and non-smokers that you can only put an end to by separating the two groups.
So what we did is we found a hackerspace with a couple of rooms. So we have one big main room. You can see it here at the bottom. And there are a lot of smaller rooms, separate rooms. We can...
The separates here.
Yeah, the separates. So we have doors, we have curtains. We can distinguish between the smokers and non-smokers. So it's a perfect thing because we can have five discussions at the same time and nobody is disturbing the other discussion rounds. So you really need more than one room. Next one, kitchen pattern. Yeah, this is one of our good rooms where we have a lot of discussions. So you need food as a human being. I don't think you have robots. Any robot in here? No? Not bad. So you also need caffeine and other drinks, beverages, and so on. And you need food at odd times. So what we did, or what we have, is a kitchen. We also cook together sometimes, or we prepare good food. we also have a fridge, or two fridges exactly, for Club Mate, of course, and other drinks.
Cooking together is another micro pattern, I'd say. In Cologne, we do it on an ad hoc basis, like Lars says, I want to make vegetarian pasta. Who wants to join me? At the Meter Lab in Vienna, they have it regularly scheduled. Every Sunday is cooking and eating together. It really brings people together.
Yeah, the single most important piece of hardware we bought after the first one broke is a dishwasher. You really want it.
Yeah. It's really more important than buying that hard disk upgrade. Really, really invest in a dishwasher. Really. It will it will end so many unpleasant discussions.
Yeah, we still have discussions about who wants to unload it. Well, the clean dishes, sometimes they will stay in for a couple of days, but... It's even better to have clean dishes than have dirty dishes.
Selling soft drinks is one of the major income of your hackerspace. All of the hackerspaces I have been into make up to 50% of their income from selling soft drinks.
Well, that's another pattern later.
And it's always good to show nerds how to cook real food.
Yeah, it's really funny. So if you cook with nerds... how can I slice this tomato? It's a very important question. They never did it before.
And there's no man page on it.
Yeah, and cooking is like coding. So you have to compile your food. You have to eat it. And afterwards, you have to do a make clean.
Let's go on. Let's go.
So... now, there's a picture from our kitchen. Yeah, we have a bed. Go back. So, I must have pressed on... There's it. So, so our kitchen with a table in it and some chairs. Yeah, you need this oven, you need these two fridges, the dishwasher.
Have
microwave
a stock of,
oven.
Have a stock of ramen noodles, cereals, whatever.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's it.
That's it. So, coziness.
Coziness, very important. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And there must be something else than only workstations and electronics.
What we have is, we have a lot of couches, sofas, comfortable chairs, not only these in the kitchen. Tables, ashtrays.
Ambient light. Stereo equipment,
projector, video games, video game console. So you all need it, you all want it, really.
Just make it a perfect living room without anyone living there. And one thing, bringing in plants didn't work for us. And here's the photographic
proof. First, this is our Nord Center. This is the room where we have our sofas, we have a television in it, we have some sound system in it. It's a room where I can also smoke because it has a window. We have some pillows. Oh, thanks for the pillows, by the way.
Yeah,
and we have our plant named Igor. This is a picture from September. So I found a picture from September 2006, and now it looks, there's no leaves on it still. poor Igor.
Doesn't seem to be a good combination, but maybe you can do better. But I would be surprised. Okay.
It's the third plant, I think. Shower. Yeah, long hacking sessions. You know it after a couple of time, or you know it from the Congress here, so you have been here for a couple of days, and then you smell funny. I would say funny. another interesting thing is you have guests, and yeah, you also need something for your hygiene. What we have, or what the Discriminate hackerspace has, is a bathroom with a shower.
So this is really rare. Only a few hackerspaces seem to have a bathroom with a shower, but we think this is the gold standard for hackerspaces, having a bathroom and a shower. The Discriminate hackerspaces really seems to, really needs to have that. And if you want to go the extra mile, like we did, you could buy a washing machine to get rid of the smelly towels.
A couple of years back, we had a map with all hackerspaces in Germany. Well, we didn't have any hackerspaces in Austria or Switzerland. So we had a map with all hackerspaces in Germany, and there was also a symbol on it. So this hackerspace has a shower.
So this is, we call them au pair hackers, people who in the summertime go around in Germany, hitchhiking maybe, from hackerspace to hackerspace, finding inspiration, working on projects, and they need a couch to crash on. And of course, they need a shower, because there's nothing like a mobile shower invented yet, the eye shower or something like that. So it needs to be a hardware installation in the hackerspace. We have one, and it's yeah, it's usable.
Yeah, we found this funny little tux on the bottom in a do-it-yourself shop. Never thought they would sell tux with a bath cap on it. So, yeah. So, next one. Membership fees patterns. It's still an independence pattern. So, you need to pay your rent, as we said before. And you also need some money for utilities, like a projector or a new server, hard drive, and so on. And sometimes you have larger projects.
Like building a steam-powered telegraphy engine?
For example. So, you need to refund it. What we do is we collect fees regularly once a month. We have a fee of about 23 euros a month, or for those who can't afford it, only 17 euros.
And it's better to make appropriate amounts and then make no exceptions than, you know, demand something that is way too high, and then people will say, oh, I cannot pay this month, can I pay next month? And then, of course, you forget about it, and then you feel bad about reminding them. Just make no exceptions, but set an appropriate amount. That's it. And have discounts for students, especially for high school students. There's a long culture in the CCC of giving discount to high school students, because we really think they are the future. At the Congress, yeah, we really should, you know, give discounts to them, because eventually they should take over everything. Should be motivated. And have at least 3 months of rent on your account all the time, no exceptions. This is what we do in Cologne. Always 3 months worth of rent on our account, so we won't run into unexpected problems. And, of course, elect a totalitarian Stalinist fascist treasurer.
Yeah. The guy who can kick asses, yeah. So, the sponsoring anti-pattern. Some people might think, so it might be good to have your hackerspace at a company, because they will give you a room, or at the university. This might be a problem. The problem is that probably, yeah, so companies want something back from donations. Or university is a problem for people who don't like universities. They won't never appear in your hackerspace.
So sometimes there's a situation where people want to set up a hackerspace, and they know each other from class, from university, or from working at a certain company, which is cool. And then they say, let's meet at that place because we all are there anyway. And by that, you will exclude anyone who is not part of that culture. You will exclude people who are not part of the university culture by meeting at a college or a university. And you will just stay a college group. And you will have no interesting high school kids or people who didn't care for a college education coming into your hackerspace. It should be culturally neutral. Same goes for a company. I know a lot of cool companies, and I'm glad to receive donations from them, but never ever depend your space on external sponsors. Never ever do that. Because the system is just that, and you cannot discuss it. No one gives away presents forever without asking for favors in return. It may be subtle, but it will happen.
Another problem is if you meet at a university, you have to leave your room early, like at 10 in the evening, when the housekeeper goes around and throws you out. And furthermore, you have to clean it up. So in your own hackerspace, you can just leave your stuff there and come back the next day and work on it furthermore.
Just look for an independent room, that's it.
Yeah. So, next group, regularity patterns. Are we in time still?
Okay. So, we should go a little bit faster.
So, plenum pattern. Yeah, you have internal conflicts, you have discussions, you need discussions, you have to plan furthermore what you will do in your hackerspace or which projects you want to start. What you can do is have a plenum, a regular meeting. Or it's supposed to be all members. It's also important. You should set up an agenda, so just in front of the plenum, it's okay. So
use the mailing list or the wiki that you installed earlier.
Yeah. Set goals. So what you want to, what you want to implement also. Furthermore, write down the minutes of this plenum or this meeting, so that those people who don't attend it can read it later on, or that you have something like a history that you can look it up later. So we discussed it, we decided it. It's written down in the wiki or somewhere else.
And for choosing a date, go for the only date that works, once a week. It never works like first full moon after the third Friday. And every other week doesn't work as well, because people will always forget, is this the right week or the wrong week? The only way that you can get all the people together is meeting every week. There is just one exception to that, and that would be meeting every day, but this is impractical. So make everyone know that we will meet every week, no exception, except when attending the Congress.
Right. So that's the next question. So when should we meet?
So and we have a pattern for that, the Tuesday pattern.
Every weekday sucks, so there will be one day in every week where nobody can attend, or where there's one person who says, oh no, I can't, there's my sports or something else. Well, there's one small solution. Pick the Tuesday.
Meet on Tuesday. All these are equally bad. Just pick Tuesday. End of discussion.
There's something that has been implemented in the CCC 20 years ago, and it's
more than 20 years ago.
More than 20 years ago, yes. And a lot of hackerspaces or a lot of CCC groups still meet on Tuesday.
And it's good, because you can always call at the hackerspace in Hamburg or Berlin on a Tuesday, and you know they will be there. They will be holding their meetings there, because it's Tuesday. No? It's not totally true. You could also, in theory, meet on Thursdays.
No, Tuesday.
But we didn't want to complicate matters. Just meet on Tuesdays.
Yeah, enough discussion. So, the open chaos pattern. Your hackerspace is running and you want to bring in new people. So, what can you do? We want to provide an interface to the outside world. A platform where you can show yourself like we do with the Congress. In Cologne, we implemented the so-called Open Chaos. That's a monthly public open lecture, talk, workshop, or something else. We announced it a week before, so we also use our local time. I think it's important for those in the United States, so don't use any other times. Use your local time where your hackerspace is located. Also, invite interesting people. So people who can give a talk or go to the Congress and ask people if they want to come to your Open Chaos so that they can also give the presentations there.
Okay. What we have in Cologne is we have a regular meeting for the members on a secret day of the week, which I will not tell you, although you may be able to guess. and we have this Open Chaos thing. And we used to have all kinds of weird people who had this glimpse in their eyes saying, me together with the CCC, we can free the world from the Illuminati. You have to join the fight, and we were not really interested in that. So we said, okay, there's one defined interface for the public, which is our Open Chaos lecture, and you can go there. And if we don't like you, just leave after the lecture. If you are interesting, then we will invite you to that members meeting on that super secret day of the week.
I just thought we need some more steam in this lecture. We have 50 minutes left.
Okay.
Well, the U23C pattern. You need fresh, young blood. Because a couple of you graduated from college, move, get married, or something like that. So, some stupid things. What we did is we set up a special course for these young folks where we tell them in a challenge, we set up a challenge so that we can work on it in groups. For a couple of weeks, we had 6 or 8 weeks usually. They get a problem and they should solve it. And afterwards, they should do a presentation about it. So we announced it a little bit larger in Germany on the Heise ticker. We had around 40 people. And every year we have 3 to 5 people who will still hang around at our hackerspace, who helps us in our new projects and so on. So that's a real cool thing.
You can and eventually the young ones have taken over the hackerspace, and we're grateful to them that they still let us do presentations like that, but in day-to-day operation, it's the young people who run it, and not us.
We can also select the best from the best.
Okay, next
one.
The sine curve pattern. Yeah, you did everything right. You had big events and a nice time in your shiny hackerspace, but after some time, the enthusiasm goes away, and your projects are stagnating. And this is a pattern that we found out, that everything in a hackerspace seems to have the form of a sine wave. Peak enthusiasm at a hackerspace has the form of a sine curve with a cycle duration of 4 years. It's really like that. Every 4 years you will do amazing things and enthusiasm will be at a peak, and then it goes down and down, and you will experience times when nothing is happening. And the only thing that is happening at a hackerspace is that the fridge is refilled. But you should keep your hackerspace running, even if the feel-good factor is temporarily on holidays, and chances are your space will be awesome again in 2 years. Don't give up. Maybe an exciting new member with a new project will knock on your door tomorrow.
Oh, we had that in Cologne.
We had that in Cologne. And we experienced the same thing in Bonn at the moment. But I think we can leave the sine curve soon.
Yeah, next one. So, next group, conflict resolution patterns. The most important ones, I think, when your hackerspace is running. So, the consensus pattern. Yeah, you need a group decision, and you don't want to leave somebody behind. What you will do is, use your weekly plenum as a special day. Don't take votes, just discuss. as long as everybody, until everybody will agree. And we think for some problems, this pattern is the best.
For some problems.
For some problems, yeah.
Okay. Democracy, second best. You need to make a group decision, discuss. Discussion does not seem to lead you anywhere. Typical example would be smoker's room. Should it be a non-smoker or smoker friendly hackerspace? There is really no way of achieving a consensus about that because people are feel really strong about this thing. And the only thing that you can deal with that problem is old-fashioned democracy, use the weekly plenum for discussion, but do take votes. The strongest minority wins over the weaker minorities. So not so good as consensus, but for some problems, this pattern is the best.
The command pattern, yeah. Nobody does the dishes. Okay, well, you have the dishwasher, but nobody unloads it. Yeah, and your hackerspace looks crappy. There's a lot of dirty and dust lying around. So no one seems to care about it. Yeah, what we think is, yeah, order the people to do the dishes and take out the trash, keep the infrastructure up and running, yell if necessary.
But always participate.
That's because important.
Because you won't be, I mean, that would be ridiculous if you were trying to order people something to do something against their own will and not participate.
Yeah, and for some problems, this pattern is the best. Yes, so the leadership pattern is similar.
We stole that from
Vienna?
From a mailing list of a hackerspace that is just about to establish itself in San Francisco, and it's just such a beautiful wording that we absolutely had to steal that. Pseudo leadership. It's, I mean, as a Unix geek, you instantly understand what it means. You started as a community of like-minded people, but suddenly you find yourself in a dictatorship run by a single hacker, a king of the hackerspace. Suddenly you have ranks and stuff like that, and all kind of power games. So what we think would be a solution, don't have ranks. Maybe for a project you need leadership, like someone saying, okay, we're going to do that and that and that. But only temporary, so pseudo leadership. Don't have a single root.
Yeah, it's a responsibility pattern. So it's every time the same. There's a person who says, yeah, we'll run the mail server and so on. And someday it doesn't work anymore because we don't have time anymore, just want to flag. So we want to tell you, take pride in your volunteer work. So you're the one who runs the mail server and everybody is loving you because you're running the mail server and you should do it good.
And if you don't do that volunteer work, you will not hurt some faceless customers of some company that you don't like in the first place. You will hurt your friends and the people who you really like who come to your hackerspace. Just because it's volunteer work and doesn't get paid doesn't mean it's less important. It will make you grow stronger as a person, and it's satisfying. And when you realize that you really cannot do the job anymore, your last task is to hand it over.
Yeah, that should be done. And the debate culture pattern. You're still nerds. Yeah, and sometimes during the weekly plenum, everybody's yelling, so it's a problem. Quite every hackerspace will have once a year or even often. And nothing gets me done, so it's like this discussion about who will take out the trashes and so on.
I attended a very violent discussion at the hackerspace, which I will not name, where people were literally throwing objects at each other because yelling was not enough to make their points. Of course, this is not the way to go. And many geeks have very poor debate skills. This is the result of years of flame wars on the net. Make people with actual social skills lead the discussion, structure this question, not actually lead it, but structure it. Those with a background in real-life political works, in our example from Student Council, were best for our groups because they went through all that shit before. And you can learn from them. And a skill that you can also learn is learn not to interrupt others.
It's connected to this strong personalities pattern.
Yeah.
Back,
if you see someone has a skill, encourage them to use that skill for the good of the group, right?
So, the bike shed anti-pattern, yeah, it's a new pattern.
Yeah. FreeBSD developers will know what this is about. You suggest creating something new for your hackerspace, like a bike shed. But now everyone discusses about the color. No bike shed will be built because people will say, no, it has to be a red bike shed, not a green bike shed.
That's a no problem.
If you suggest something what everyone else in your hackerspace can build, they will take part in the discussion. This is especially true for administrating servers, stuff like that. And if it's only the color of the bike shed, the design of the t-shirts, the Linux distribution on the server, etc. Nerds tend to discuss trivial problems in epic detail, while more complex tasks will be ignored. And you should identify pointless discussions like these and just end them.
Yeah, that's the essence of it.
And this... this bike shed problem comes from a book in the 1960s called Parkinson's Law from C. Northcote Parkinson on management. And in the specific example involving the bike shed, the other vital component is an atomic power plant. I guess that illustrates the age of the book. Parkinson shows how you can go into a board of directors and get approval for building a multi-million or even billion-dollar atomic power plant. But if you want to build a bike shed, you will be tangled up in endless discussions. Because a power plant is such a complicated thing, people will just say, oh, I don't know anything about it. They must have sorted out all the details before. I better not take part in the discussion. But if it's really trivial and they can contribute to it, like, I want to have it in green color instead of red color, they will contribute to the bitter end.
So just propose complex projects and you will be alone. The private talk pattern, yeah, finally. So the last conflict resolution pattern. So there's a problem, or someone has a problem that cannot be resolved in the group. Probably because you don't want to hurt the person in the group or in front of the group. So let some experienced members of your group have a private talk with this person. And this person or this experienced member should listen to the person. So even if this person yells, should listen to it and find a resolution to the problem.
Yeah, and still let them know how the group feels about the problem without exposing them. Like, this is our enemy, or mobbing and stuff like that. Just tell them in private. It works.
Yeah. Therefore, you need separate rooms. So, last one, creative chaos patterns. The old hardware pattern, yeah. After the first few times we... hold this presentation, a couple of people ask, so what are you doing with your old hardware and your hackerspace? So, because you can't bring in new shiny hardware and there's no space left, and your hackerspace evolved to a museum of hardware museum filled with junk. What we do is we have a pile or stack nowadays where we put that old hardware on, unused hardware that, can be taken by everyone, so everyone who needs old hardware can take it out, take it at home, and so on. But
unused hardware is any hardware that is not labeled with a name on it, where the owner cannot explain the purpose of the hardware in two sentences. which doesn't boot, where the root password is unknown to any member of the group, and which generally looks dubious, and then it will be put on this pile or the stack and can be taken away from by anyone, but we will announce that regularly, and it's we have an escalation system for that. So
you need an escalation system.
After three announces, your hardware will be free for everyone to take, because obviously you have failed in using it in a meaningful way for the hackerspace.
And we still have people say half a year after we throw it away.
Oh no! How could you throw away all that microvaccine?
So we announced this 3 times, 5 times. Doesn't work. So this is a usual problem. You can't resolve it.
Okay.
So that's an extract. Sorry, in German only. Extract from our Gesetz zur Bereitstellung von Hardware im Chaoslabor.
So we Germans, we like to have rules. So this is. Just a short translation, the Chaos Lab is a room of exceptional order and cleanliness where the Chaos Computer Club Cologne does their club work. We have cleaning personnels, and these are understood as persons who care about the state of the club room. Cleaning personnel always has hero status and immunity against flames from owners of not functional hardware, etc., etc. It goes on like that for a few pages. But anyway, this is how we regulate the hardware museum junk pile problem at our space.
Yeah. So this is a picture from our stack nowadays. So we had a pile before, and now it's a stack. You can see it on the right side. Everyone who enters our club room, that's the door behind, so that's a room for entering the club room, will fall over this hardware. Yeah, that's just a small image. Yeah, the key pattern. You want to assess your hackerspace at every time, and you don't want to call somebody who has a key during night when you leave and so on. What you should do is hand out keys, so track who owns the key. Especially if you have insurance for it, for your hackerspace. You should also have a good lock so that nobody can go in without a key. So, and you should collect a deposit for it so that you have to pay 20 euro or so to get a key, because then the person takes care for it. Furthermore, you can also build a nice electronic locking system. If it works, is another question, and it's another.
Das Labor in Bochum, an excellent hackerspace in the west of Germany, they will be having a presentation on their system called AnonAccess, which is an anonymous but secure access electronic system, buzzword thing for hackerspaces, and I think it's extremely interesting and worth stealing if you set up a new hackerspace. So if you want to find inspiration at that congress, definitely see that presentation. But you could also go old school like us and hand out physical keys.
Yeah. So, oh, the last pattern, the Club Mate pattern, yeah. You need to raise funds. You want to stay up longer during night. And you want to receive really good impressions without drugs. Buy at least one pallet of Club Mate, it's cheaper, and set it in your hackerspace, and you will see all the results very soon.
And this is
it works.
This is really a pattern. I mean, I have not seen a functional operational hackerspace without excess amount of Club Mate.
Yeah, this is
part of our storage room for Club Mate.
Yeah,
it's a smaller part, I think.
Yeah, it's a smaller part.
There's a bigger storage as well.
Yeah. So, conclusion. This is not a cookbook. There are no golden ways, as you said in the introduction. There's no golden way to build up a hackerspace. These are only some guidelines or so. You really need experience, and you can also ask people with experience. Just be creative, try it on your own way. And for questions and answers, we have, today we have at 1715
registered a workshop room, and we will answer all your questions and we will discuss every little detail until we get thrown out of that workshop room. Thank you very much for listening.
So, wait.
Perfect.
just find your nearest hackerspace or set up your own.